the recorders. Now we can go. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you, Lord. You're a great God. You're a good God. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord. And we thank you for pouring out your spirit tonight upon everybody here. And Lord, we thank you that everybody here is walking that narrow road, that you're cleaning us up, Lord. And you're getting us ready for this great happening, this great awakening. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we have an open heaven. We know we have an open heaven because our prayers are answered. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for giving us wisdom and discernment tonight in this subject matter that we've got going to have tonight. And I thank you for it, Father. It's a subject that 99.9% of the Christian world doesn't know. And Father, we thank you for bringing out the revelations of what a real Christian is like, as opposed to the rest of the religions and philosophies out there. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for bringing it out, bearing it out, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In all its power and wisdom. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for being with us tonight, leading us and directing us and guiding us to say and to do the things that you'd have us to do, Lord. Give us words of knowledge. Give us prophetic words. And Lord, we thank you for your healing touch upon those who need it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Glory to God. I am pumped up and ready to go. Glory to God. Somebody out there holler for Jesus. I'm telling you what. Glory to God. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request? Now, y'all have to. You new guys have to get used to me real quick because sometimes I get a little bit loud because I love Jesus. Just a little bit, Missy says, just a little bit. All right. Who's got a prayer? Maybe a little bit more, she's saying. Oh, come on, Missy, give me a break. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Dominique.
So I just wanted to ask for prayers from my friend Vinny. He's just been struggling with lust and giving into that and everything. Besides that, I know he has the ability to say no. He's done it before. He's just been struggling with making the right choice. So I just want to pray that, you know, Lord send down his angels to protect him and fight against us. Yeah. And also my friend Ben started a new job today. Oh, yesterday. And he's been okay at it. He's just struggling a little bit with not knowing how to do everything. So I just, you know, I think the Lord's trying to use it to humble him and everything. So let's just pray that he also remains humble and doesn't get too upset with not knowing.
Okay, why don't you pray, Dominic, and we'll believe with you.
Sure then. So, Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. I just pray that you protect Vinny, send your angels down, and fight off this spirit of lust against him. Give him the strength to say no, and remembering that he can. Just remind him of Scripture when he is tempted, Lord, and just help him out like you did with me, Lord. And just ask that you also give Ben the chance to stay calm and not get too upset when he doesn't know what he's doing and remain humble in this new job. And I ask that you grant him wisdom that he didn't know he had because you gave it to him, Lord, and how to do this new job. Thank you. I thank you for the opportunities that you have given us and the chances that you're going to continue to provide for us, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Dominic, and we believe everything he's prayed has been already answered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your overcoming power in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Anybody else with a prayer request? Hey, Geneva, go ahead.
Isaac warned me because Isaac's in Texas right now, so
yeah.
He'll be traveling back tomorrow. So he just asked if you all could say a prayer for safe travels for him because we're not fans of airplanes. So.
Well, yeah, of course, yeah. Lord, we lift up Isaac to you. Is he with his family?
No, not right now, but tomorrow he'll be back in Ohio with his family.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, we lift our eyes to you. We thank you, Lord, for protecting him away from home and all the way back home from wherever he is, Lord. And we thank you that all the time he's out and away from his family, he has the angels with him to protect him and guide him. And, Lord, we know you're leading him, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your protection upon him there and back in Jesus' name. It's done. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God forevermore. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Anybody got a praise report? A testimony. Come on, David, with it. Come on, brother. Yes, Lord. Ooh, I love his.
I got a praise report. That truck I started Thursday, I finished it today and I was 4 hours ahead of schedule.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for David. My goodness, he's going to be president of that company before too much longer. Lord of God, I'm going to put him right up to the top. All right, Dominic, go ahead.
Okay, so praise report. I just want to thank God that he's given me the strength to overcome and just really pulling me out of that dark spot I was in. But I asked Katie, she's with a group right now, if she had any prayer requests, and she just said, I'll be praying in my head, but there's a customer in the store, so I just got to make it real quick. If she has trouble sleeping when she has something to do in the morning the next day, so I just want to pray that goes away. And also for somebody that we've been working with to receive God, he's got his heart hardened and just wanted to be softened, that he just receives the truth. He believed in God before, but now he's just struggling with it. So same as Troy, if we can just pray for him too. But yeah, God really did come through for me. So thank God and thank you guys.
Okay. Somebody help me with that. What all was he wanting to pray for there? For Rebecca?
Was it Katie?
Or Katie, okay. It was Katie.
You know, she has trouble. She gets anxious. She gets anxious and she can't sleep that well when she has something going on the next day.
Oh, okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you for wiping her mind clean when she goes to bed and she sleeps like a baby. And Father, we thank you for that. It makes no difference what we command that spirit of anxiety off of her right now in the name of Jesus. That anything she thinks about is nothing but you, Lord, that she gets her mind on you and forgets the other. And we thank you, Father, for doing that for Katie. And Lord, we thank you for this poor nun. She's going to have good night's sleep every night in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Katie. Amen. Y'all believe that? Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. All right.
And we'll say a quick prayer for their friend. I can't remember his name, but something about they're trying to soften his heart to receive the gospel and the Lord. He kind of fighting against not wanting to believe there's God right now, but that heart softens so that he can come realize Jesus is the Lord and Savior. So thank you, Father, for softening your heart and so he can receive the gospel message through Dominic. And anybody else they're working with right now. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for granting repentance to this guy and bringing him in a mighty way and using Dominic today. Jesus' name. All right. Go ahead, Tracy.
Hey, everybody.
What's up, girl?
Everything. I was going to say not a lot, but everything. Hey, check this out. An unbeliever at my work named Robert noticed that I actually have a Bible in my office because I have my own office. So I thought, well, bless God, I'm going to put my Bible on a table next to my desk. So I put my Bible there and an unbeliever said he saw my Bible, and the older he gets, the more he's kind of wondering. And he's even willing, this is his words, I'm even willing to get myself a Bible. He said, what kind should I get? So, I'm going to give him some advice and everything. And I just, can you guys agree with me that the Lord's going to rock him and it's going to be amazing? His name's Robert. Praise God.
Amen. Yes, Lord, we thank you for opening Robert's spiritual eyes and his spiritual ears to hear the truth of the gospel, and that it is an awesome, awesome trip that he's fixing to go on. We thank you, Lord, for granting repentance to him. We break the power of Satan off of him right now that would try to hinder him. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for bringing this Robert into the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory amen. To God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. It is so. All right. Who's next?
I have a praise report.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I just want to thank the Lord for healing my knee so that I was able to do a little bit of hiking with some friends that we had to come visit us for the weekend. And I just thank you also, Father, for keeping their little girl from getting car sick on the way up to the falls. And we had a very good visit. Thank you, Father, for their safe coming and going back home. In Jesus' name, amen.
How they like it up there at Ball River Falls?
They thought it was pretty cool. Yeah, they liked it.
Yeah.
Their oldest daughter decided she needed to be totally under the water. So she totally drenched herself, got all wet. And it was really cold because she didn't have extra clothes to change.
Oh, wow.
It's very cold.
Yeah,
but I can imagine. It was a good time. It was fun.
Awesome.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, who's next?
I should probably mention this just to thank the Lord. I had left, somehow I had lost my set of keys, and I realized it today. I didn't know that. My keys I lost is a set of keys I have for work. And there I have a lot of master keys on it and just, you know, sensitive areas. And I didn't realize, oh, and where they go. So I called this boss that was on working right now. He's on the second or the third shift for us. And I said, you know, can you go check a room and see if I left them in this computer room? And he says, well, I'll go check and go give me a call back in a little bit. And I called him back probably about half hour later. And he says, well, I found him. He says, we got him. He says, somebody turned him into one of the supervisory desks. And I says, oh, thank God. Because I was thinking, oh, no, what do I do with those things? I hate to leave those things lying around. I don't know who got a hold of them. Hopefully, you know, I just, it's one of those sets of keys that I've been working on for like, you know, since I've been there like 30 years. So there's things on there I don't think I could replace very easy. But I'll give the Lord credit for making that easy on me. And they found them and, you know, the worry's gone. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, Phil.
We prayed about my wallet a while back that I had misplaced my wallet, and I've totally forgot about it. And my good buddy of mine that's been over to my house a couple times, he called me this not too long ago in the morning, said, hey, I'm out in Cali. My guys out on the work site over there in Missouri said they found some papers with your name on it. And I was like, well, I lost my wallet months ago, you know? And he said, yeah, they took the cards, cut them up for you and threw them away. So, I mean, I never canceled the cards. I did order replacements because I just knew it'd show up. But I guess the Lord just blocked whoever was trying to use those cards not to use them, because I checked the balances and made sure that there were no transactions. I figured, why go through the hassle of switching accounts if nobody's using the cards, you know? So I don't know. It's a praise report. It's kind of like,
amen.
Thank you, Lord, for not letting anybody swipe them, or, you know, they just threw them away because they wouldn't work, but they were never canceled. So
yeah, that's awesome. Really, that is awesome. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. He's listening, ain't he?
Yeah.
Absolutely, he is. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Ooh. All right. Anyone else? Amen. I want to pray for a couple of things. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up President Trump to you, and I thank you, Lord, for your protection around about him that is secure, that he doesn't have to worry about the things that have happened in the past, that you have this well-being in your hand. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for giving this man wisdom and patience, and it looks like you are, to go ahead and play this thing out like you want it played out, Lord. And I know that you're going to get the glory. And I thank you for it, Father, because you told us that he's going to be the president. He is the president. And Father, we just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for protecting him and his family and the White House with him in Jesus' name in these days ahead. As perilous times, but they have it in control. You have it in control through them, and we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for saving all these babies out of these tunnels and things, Father. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, for sparing the ones that are going to be productive and in you, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Just, I ask, Lord, that you just have them to blow up the rest of them that are emptied out. We thank you, Father, so they can't use them ever again. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Yes, Pat.
I just wanted to tag on to that. Father, would you, we just ask you that you would put a hedge around Chief Justice Roberts' heart, and that, Lord, you would turn him as you have prophesied, you had your servants prophesied, and that you would protect him, that you would protect him from any evil onslaught or any attack that would try to prevent what you're doing in his heart, Lord, and just put the fear of the Lord God in his heart. We thank you for that, Lord. We just agree with Brother Dixon in his dream, in his prophecy, and the dream regarding the tables being turned in this nation. We look forward to that, Lord, and we thank you for your strength. We stand beside him, and we lift up his hands. We lift up our hearts, and our eyes are upon you, Lord, to see you turn the tide of this thing and restore President Trump into this place. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for what you are doing in our lives. Thank you for the preparation that you are placing in our hearts, Lord, to stand firm and strong in your word and to stand against the onslaught of this age. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit you've given to guide us into all truth and to empower us to walk and to overcome and to take down do our part to take down, cooperate with you, to separate, to divide, to destroy, to take down the strength of this deep state army that is there. Lord, we thank you for your strength, your power, your authority, your might, your spirit that you've given us. And we just praise you, Lord, and thank you for the work that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah, Dave.
I'd like to pray too.
Go ahead, Sue.
Hang on, Sue.
Go ahead, Sue. Go ahead.
Y'all gonna have to get your hands up. You're gonna have a little competition here.
I'll just say a quick prayer that, Lord, to continue to work on the judges' hearts that are outside the Supreme Court, all those other judges. I see some movement going on. I thank you, Lord, for giving integrity to these judges. They're going to stand up for righteousness' sake. They're going to stand up for this country. They're going to stand up for things that are true, and they're going to be looking for the truth to come out, And that's what they're interested in, not interested in suppressing and holding things down. They're interested in finding out what the truth is and letting that prevail. Thank you, Lord, for bringing those judges forward and making them stand for righteousness and for this country and for freedom. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, so go ahead.
Oh, Lord, I just thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in Trump and all the leaders and that they're following after you and being obedient to you. I pray for a continued protection over each and every one of them and their families and that they would continue to follow the leading of your spirit, not only in our country, but in every country, that whatever you want to accomplish in each country, that your will be done. Not man's will, but your will be done. And thank you, Father, for that you, every time Trump goes with the leaders, that you go before them to take care of the matter, to prepare the way, that you're in the midst of them and you're their rear guard. And I thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you, Lord, for such a time as this that we're in it. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. All right. All right, anybody else? You know, I've got two pages here. We've got a bunch of folks on here. We got a bunch here. Les Petra's got somebody in there with her. Oh, okay. Everybody probably didn't get the late email I sent out tonight. I thought that y'all would talk about what is the real secret of Christianity that makes it superior to all religions. And by other religions, I'm talking, you know, Buddhism, Muslim, Hinduism, all the great philosophical religions, and even Judaism. What makes Christianity far more superior than the rest of these great religions? And Missy said,
well, let me preface it with this. I'm ignorant about what a lot of other religions are about. You know, I don't know what a lot of them claim and what they don't claim.
Okay, let me do something here, Missy, before you start in. Let me preface this question with this. You're going to explain why Christianity is superior to the rest of the religions. And don't just come out here and say the resurrection. Explain what you're talking about. Because when you say the resurrection, I'm just an old dumb boy from Arkansas just off the farm. And I ain't got a clue what you're talking about now. So you need to go ahead on and tell me what you're talking about. You understand? Okay, go ahead, Missy. You got the floor, girl.
Well, I'll just read what my response was when you texted to me. I'll read the two things that I put down. And I've thought about this more, but this is just a starter. This was my fault. Mainly, there is no one who was without sin, being God, that died for others' sin and resurrected other than Jesus. And then I also wrote, all others require works, your works, but salvation is given to us by grace. We don't earn it. So,
well, I can see a Muslim in it. Well, why did Jesus die? Okay, I'm just going to leave it at that, and you can come back later if you'd like.
Well, he. Why did he have to die for our sins? Yeah. Yeah. Well, because if we didn't, we'd all go to hell in a handbasket.
Well, that don't make sense to me. Why would he have to go to hell for my sin?
We would go to hell. He was God. He was the creator of heaven and earth.
Okay, we'll go to the next person. That's good. That's okay, good. That's good. You got us going. That's good. That's a good start. That's a real good start. All right, who's next? I'm not going to give everybody the same thing as I did Missy. Now she's my buddy, so I have to do that to her. All right. Anybody else? Oh, it's going to be a long night. I can tell. Yeah, go ahead.
Are we supposed to raise our hand somehow? I don't see the hand button anymore.
Okay, look on where it says reactions down at the bottom.
Yeah.
Hit that.
Oh.
See where it
says? Oh, raise hand. Hand.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I got my hand up so I can be after the next one.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Fio.
So the way I would describe it to my Arabic, or actually Indian Muslims over in Indiana, and one of them would listen, one of them wouldn't, but the way I described it to them was, we both believe in a Jesus, they believe in a prophet, we believe in the Son of God, which none of the religions do that. Not only do we believe in a Son of God, but we believe in a resurrected Son. And the unique part of that is we have sonship with God. How did I explain this? It's really quite simple, right? Christ,
yeah.
we were created, the world and everything was created by Christ. And this is where it gets kind of questionable to me is because of the way we fell away with Adam, and he had to die for us to gain us. Like, we were his creation, right? We fell away. The only way we got back under that grace was him to come and take our sins on himself. So my question there is, I understand why he had to die for us, but is it that Jesus had to die for us because we were created by him and we fell away? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. When he was born, and he knew he was born to die. He knew that he was the sacrifice. And I'm going to stop there, because he knew all along what his job was, even, you know. As he grew older, he got more and more revelation into that. And when he knew, he already told the disciples, didn't he? He told disciples a couple of times that he was going to die. He was going to Jerusalem to die. And he knew why he had to. Anyway, we'll get into that some more. I want to see what everybody else has got. All right, go ahead, Stephen.
There, I'm unmuted now. Okay, yeah. I was thinking Jesus came to take away the sin of the world, not to cover up the sin, but to take it away. And so, and that relates, I'm thinking of Colossians 1:27, where he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we can actually have the power of God working through us, which no other religion has that. There's no other living Jesus that can work it through anybody else. They're all white knuckling it and trying to stop the sin and all that, but he actually changes our nature so we don't want it anymore. And nobody else does that. No other religion can do that.
Amen.
Are you muted? I think you're muted.
Yeah, I know I am. I just knew I am after you told me I was anyway. I was going back and forth in the pages. Has anybody else got a solution? That was good, Stephen. That's the essence of the whole thing. I just wanted to get into it a little deeper. Yeah, Ray. You know, it'd be a lot better if we could hear you, but we can't hear you for whatever reason. I don't know what's wrong with your audio. Do you have a microphone? Or is it in built in? If it's built in, you have to select it. You go ahead and work on that. I'm going to see if I can get, who was it? Jilly, were you before Sue or Sue before Jilly?
Sue's before me.
Okay.
Oh, Jilly.
Sorry. Go. Go ahead, Jilly.
Something was coming to me was kind of like what Stephen said. I was thinking how Christianity, true Christianity, is life-changing. You know, God gave us eternal life in Christ Jesus and transforms us into his image. And it is like what Missy said, it's all grace. It's not something you earn. And in a nutshell, I guess that's all I was going to say.
Amen. Amen. I like what Stephen said. He said a whole lot in that little bit of sentence there. And that's what I wanted to expand on is if Jesus died, what did that do to us? How did that how did that affect us? And that's what I'd like to get into now. Go ahead, Sue, or GD, or whoever.
I don't know. What kept coming to me was, and Judy and I were talking. What kept coming to me is that it's the superior Christianity is our pursuing Christ. Not pursuing a religion, but pursuing him, his spirit. Because we can't, every other religion per se is still using the old man. Whereas when we pursue Christ, we'll start walking in the new man as we pursue him. That's what I keep getting.
Okay. How do we do that?
By praying.
Dying to self.
Praying.
I don't know how to say. Now you're talking about killing me. What you talking about, Judy? All right. By that's good. That's good. We'll stop right there if you want to. And that's good. Getting us on the right road here. Praying. All right. Go ahead, Malcolm, I think.
Yeah, something personal here, but first of all, Christianity isn't like some in competition with other religions. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. So that's mutually exclusive. There aren't any other options, according to Jesus. And I know a lot of, I've been in homes where people put up pictures of Jesus on their wall and put a lay around it, you know, and worship the picture along with all the pictures of all the other gods like Ganesh and Ram and Vishnu and all those guys. So no, he's not on a par with anybody. And I know nobody's saying that here, but it's not like competition because there ain't no competition.
Well, so, that's what I said. Why is it superior?
Yeah. So this is what God revealed to me when I was in high school, and that is that Jesus made it clear to me that the reason he was up on the cross and dealing with all the abuse was because he was thinking of me, and he wanted to do that for me. So that's just part of it, but that's my part.
Okay. All right. That's good. All right, Dominique.
So I still got to be quick, but when I got the email, the first things that popped in my head, I wasn't really even thinking about it. It just kind of came to me was what he just said prior to me was, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So there's no way to even receive that except through Christ. And on top of that, too, I was reminded of the Egyptian sorcerers who, you know, they were able to perform some of the things that God was able to perform, but they weren't allowed to alleviate the curses that they put down where God could. And it was almost just a mimic of it. It was never really as powerful. And even from my own personal experience when I was in New Age, like I'd meditate all the time and I would only get a little bit of power and I would only feel like see a little bit of things, but just like a second feeling the Holy Spirit was so much more powerful and way, way larger in comparison to those false spirits that were just trying to fool me kind of thing. But that's just how I saw it and my take on it.
Amen. Thank you, Dominique. All right, Missy.
Well, I'm thinking about this verse just keeps coming to me. It says a lot. He who was without sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which goes along with what Stephen was saying. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, he was the firstborn among many brethren. You know, he died so that we could become righteous just like he is and be a son of God. Be sons of God and have our sins taken away and become be without sin too, just like him.
Amen. Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
Okay, Jesus Christ bought you with his blood. It's called redemption. When you go to the store and you redeem something for dollars, you take it home, it's still worth dollars. If it's the wrong size, you got to take it back, get your dollars back or get the right size. But what Jesus purchased you with his lifeblood, so that now you're worth the very lifeblood of Jesus Christ. You're like his brother or his sister. He bought you with the precious life of Jesus, his lifeblood, because the life is in the blood. And now you're worth something. You're worth something very precious to God the Father, too, because Jesus was his son. And now you have Jesus's life in you, transferred to you spiritually. So with that life, you get the way he loves, because God so loved the world that he shed his son's blood so that we could be purchased with it and partake of his blood, his life, and his heart and his mind. You see the way things he sees, and you do the works with your hands like he does it, because it's a new life for you. Living is the word of God and active in you. And Jesus's name is the word of God, and we abide in him as a new life.
Okay, we're getting there. Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking about what Missy said and also what Steve said. And the thing that was coming to me was I thought about, I guess, you might say, the logic of Christ, of his death. Logic, that, you know, this logic sounds a bit sterile or whatever, but the point being, the Lord gave me that scripture, reminded me of that scripture that said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the gist of what Jesus did when he came is he lived a life of righteousness, a soul that did not sin. And therefore, when he was crucified as a sacrifice for our sin and went to the Father, Jesus' death created a major credit in heaven available to another soul that could obtain that. Now there's a life, there's a death in heaven that was paid in heaven, created a credit in heaven of one life. So one of us in this room can claim that life. Now that's an error. That's an error. There is one life that can be claimed for purchase of our sinful life, of mine and yours and everyone else's sinful life. There's one life that can be claimed. And that life is that life of righteousness of Jesus. And so how we obtain that life is we have to exchange our sinful life for that life that is available. The only life that's going to be let into heaven. I think David says it well when he said that there's only two lives available. There's a life of our life or a life of Jesus. Jesus' life is the life that gets into heaven because there's already a major credit there for one life and one life only. So I look at the difference between the point of Christianity, the point of knowing God, knowing Christ, is being able, having the privilege to exchange my old sinful life by faith and receive his life to enter in. So I guess that's all I had to say.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? George, you had your hand up a while ago. You got something you want to share with us?
It was an accident, but yeah, I think I do.
Okay.
The way I look at it all is that all of these other religions are basically demons trying to steal glory from God and distract from the fact that God brought his blood down here, made a covenant, and buried a seed and is getting a crop of a new man, a new creation, something that's never been on the planet before. And those demons are just trying to get reverence from human animals dead in their sins, basically, and maybe from Christians also, if they could be deceived. But we're a crop that the husbandman is growing and pruning and getting the fruit of Jesus Christ. This is a whole different type of being. It's a whole different creation inside of God's creation. So obviously the jealousy and everything else of those other religions and the need for the enemy to try to copy and distract. And it's just a matter of either giving God glory and not letting the enemy steal that glory is the way I look at it, that Jesus is getting the preeminence. He is the preeminent one. So it's a battle for glory. Amen.
That's exactly right. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Denny, I saw you wanted to say something a while ago. You got something? Okay. All right. Anyone else? Let's see what we got here in the chat. Okay, Greg says earlier, he says uniquely, Jesus predicted his own death, burial, and resurrection and pulled it off, demonstrating he was God. Okay, that's good. Dave Nelson's got Galatians 3:2. This only what I learned from you. Did you receive the spirit of the works by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And then Dave Nelson says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image. Come on now. Now you're getting close. From glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. John 6:40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone that beholds the Son and believes on him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Okay, John 6:54-58. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Okay. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he that eats me, eats the word, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the Father ate and died. He that eats this bread shall live forever. Greg says, should I put down the stones? Oh, me. Okay.
Maybe because Pat said he had it was an error.
Okay. Joe Britt says, Jesus is the only religious leader that is still alive. Amen. That's exactly right. Then Dave comes back with, does this cause you to stumble? John 6:62. What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life. Okay, yep. Okay, why? Let's just get into this resurrection deal a little bit longer. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. He knew before, and he trusted the Lord so much so, Jesus did, that he went through with this death burial because he knew at the end it was going to benefit everybody that looked at him. And what happened when he got up on the throne? What happened then? Pentecost, praise God forevermore. Pentecost that gave us the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. That's the power to become a son of God. That's the difference right there. Everybody got the power to be a son or a daughter of God, to be in that overcoming power that the Holy Spirit gives us. Now, I can get, man, I'm telling you what, I get encouraged when I hear stuff like that. When I think about the Lord is in us, we are his body. He is the head. We're the body down here doing the work that he did while he was on earth. Plagues are coming. Guess who's going to be out there walking amongst them, laying hands on the people? Who you think going to be out there? Jesus in us. That's who's going to be out there. It's going to be the glory of God with signs and wonders falling through his body that's going to be walking out there. The spirit of the law and the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, glory to God. That's what's going to be out there. Going to be walking out there, and they're going to be one man. You need to get you a mask on. You need to get your vaccine. You need to do this. You need to do that. No, man, let me tell you about my Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. People going to jump up off the sidewalk and start preaching the gospel because of the Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what it is. That's why Jesus died. He died so we could be partakers of his nature, power, and authority that he's given us. Glory to God, man, I can get excited thinking about Jesus being right there with us, being right there with us. I remember this story. I probably told this 100 times, but I'm going to tell it again, 101. When the plague came in South Africa, and Lake had a man that was praying out in the desert under a bush, and he'd go out there and check on him every now and then. He'd say, "How's it going? How's it going?" He said, "I'm still praying. I'm still praying. Everything's going to be okay, but I'm still praying." And he went out there one day, and he said, "How's it going, brother?" He said, "I think, Mr. Lake, if I could just have a little more help, if I could get you to help me, I think we can see the victory now." He got down on his knees. They started praying. They started believing. Faith came into him. Next thing he knew, this guy jumped up and went to yelling like a banshee, out toward out in the desert. And John Lake looked out there, and there was a horde of demons, and they were headed away from him. And that's what happened. He got the victory. He got the victory. That's the power that God has given his people in this time ahead. The same type of power. Walking just like Jesus. Well, you kind of blasphemy. That's what the Word of God says. Word of God says let me see if I can find it here right quick. In John chapter 10, verse 34, I said, ye are gods. I said, Jesus said, ye are gods. We're gods because Jesus lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. That means Michael's dead, Jesus is alive. And when Jesus is alive, mighty wonders, signs and wonders happen all the time, all the time. When you run across people in the days ahead, look, y'all know by listening to David, there's coming a plague. It's going to be unprecedented. And because it's unprecedented, this is where the revival is going to start, y'all. This is where the revival is going to start. They're going to see God's people out there. Get up in the name of Jesus. They're going to be humble people. They're going to meet people. They're not going to be, they're just going to be humble people going out there. Get up in the name of Jesus. Get up over here in the name of Jesus. Be healed over here in the name of Jesus. Be delivered over here in the name of Jesus. And they're going to be jumping up. And they're going to be giving God the glory. One after another. They're going to say, man, did you see them crazy Christians out there? Man, they laying hands on folks and they're coming out from under all of this epidemic stuff. Forget the vaccine, man. Let's go find us a Christian. I want Jesus. That's what it's going to be like. That's the power and the authority that God gave us. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. I've given you authority over all. It didn't say just a little portion. It said all the power of the enemy. What's the enemy? Everything comes against me. Glory to God. And he is giving faith now like I've never seen it before out to his people. And his people are starting to get a hold of this faith thing, to believe and trust God and to speak boldly. I've got a granddaughter, got a husband that's, they say that's got cancer, big splotches of cancer all over the inside of this young man, 27 years old. I called her the other day. I said, man, you speaking some bold stuff on that Facebook stuff, girl. She said, I said, that's pretty good stuff for a Baptist. She said, Papa, I'm not a Baptist. I'm a Christian. And I have bold faith because I have to have bold faith. Nobody else is doing it for me. I said, glory to God. Go, girl. And guess what? Cancer's going away. It's going away. Every time it's going away. It's down so small now they can't hardly see it. Ain't nothing else being affected. He's not getting sick because of the chemo. She said, I said, how are you praying? She said, I'm praying that God goes through that chemo. I said, you go, girl. Praise God. That's what God wants out of his people. He wants faith. Everywhere it's at, it makes no difference. Everywhere it's at. And she is turning some people's heads. People that have known her all her life and are just talking to her. You are such an inspiration. You know, they're all through that Facebook thing she's got. She has it every day. She has some kind of little inspirational method that she gives, you know, and she gives all the credit to God. So praise God. That's where we are, right? We believe and we trust God for everything. And it makes no difference what comes up in front of you. That mountain's got to go, right? That's what Jesus said. You know, all you got to do is speak to that mountain, it'll go. Get that mountain out of my way in Jesus' name. It's got to go. All we have to do is rest in the Lord and believe that he's doing it, and it'll be done. Okay, somebody else tell me what this is all about, Christianity. Go, George.
I just wanted to come alongside what you were just saying. I've been going to this older person's Bible, what do they call it, Sunday school at the local Pentecostal church, and been fellowshipping with them. And I usually don't go to the actual church meeting too much, but I've been steady going to the Bible study, and I kept quiet as much as I could. And if they give us, you know, somebody, one man had a knee go out on him, and they asked who's got faith to pray for that knee, and I ran across the floor basically and slid up to him, and me and some people prayed for this man's knee. He got healed instantly that day. Since then, I have kind of been the straight man to the guy that's been up there, kind of jovially kind of bouncing back and forth in the group. The man leading it, he always kind of calls on me and has me give my 2 cents. And it's been blessing them. Well, they called me about 6 weeks ago and said he's going to Florida again, and said that you could teach the class while he's gone. Would you mind? And I'm like, yeah, I could do that. So I waited my turn and got some messages together. And for the last 3 weeks, basically, have just been pouring. It's like kind of like Niagara Falls through a water hose, but I've restrained and prayed for restraint to just really stretch myself and stretch them to believe for more and to understand what being living stones is all about, and how that we are the priesthood of believers. We're kings and priests, and that God expects us to shine forth his, and explaining the whole Faniru, the words that are not talking about waiting for Jesus' return, but it's a hope of Christ in us. And I've really been pouring through these people, and some of these little old ladies after the meeting, they just come to me and they're just wide eyed and happy, and they're saying how much they're getting out of it. And you know, I might need some agreement and prayer from you all to not let my words come out when I'm confronted, because I know it's going to come down to a confrontation eventually, probably with the dispensationalist bent of the church, and maybe just that whole Nicolaitan error. So I anticipate that I'm, you know, going to have the grace to put the right words even in front of the leadership that helps, if they honor the word of God and want to get out of God's way and lead and equip a people for ministry, then that's, you know, that's why God's letting me have this opportunity. And I'm just believing that all the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of my Lord and Savior. And these little realms of influence that God gives us, that he's living large, he is king. So I just wanted to thank you, and I'm going to go ahead and pray real quick and ask for agreement. Father, don't let me get in the way of your touching your precious people and all the lost sheep of the house of your Israel, that you're gathering them in, you care for them. You are the great shepherd. You're the only shepherd. And Father, we allow you to live through us. And we thank you that you care so much for these people, that you want to see your son Jesus shine forth and then bear the fruit of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just do. We ask, Lord, that you give George great wisdom and discernment and the words to say as he gets up there and teaches these people the truth of the gospel. And Father, we praise you for that. We praise you, Lord, that there's going to be an outcry if there is a confrontation with the leadership in that church. And Lord, we thank you that the truth will prevail in this fellowship in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for your hedge of protection all around George as he's there with him. And we thank you, Father, for using him as your vessel to get the gospel out to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I believe it, George. And I tell you what, that's amazing.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? Anybody else? Denny? Come on, Denny. Nope. Okay.
All of the above. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. Amen. Yeah,
thank you, Father. And the other, you know, one, it's that all believers all over, I mean, all we have that one common life living in us. You know, that's such an awesome thing, you know, that we are that temple of the Holy Spirit. We have one common life. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Can you imagine watching Jesus when he died, slipping down there to hell to get them keys? He went down there, got them keys, and he started rising back up. I can see Satan. Don't let him go, boys. You let him go, we're in trouble. We'll all hang. We'll all hang. If he gets out of here, we'll all hang. And they all try to hold on to him. He just goes right on up and sits at the Father's right hand. Glory to God. And here we are at the day that he said was going to be at, when revival is almost upon us. Anybody heard about the cicada? What is it? What do you call it? Cicada thing is fixing to happen.
Subduction zone.
The what?
Subduction zone.
mean cascade?
No. Cicada. Cicada is a bug. A cicada is a bug. It's going to be like a locust thing. They're going to have millions upon millions upon billions of cicadas coming out and plaguing Washington, D.C. is the epicenter here shortly. They're predicting.
Can you and use them?
A cicada. That's them loud bugs when they hibernate for 17 years and then they all come out. Go ahead, Denny. You was going to say something about them.
That's what I was just going to say. They come every 17 years. I remember the last time they came. Of course, we were up in Illinois then. It wasn't that bad. But it sounds like David had a map and showing the real hot spots, and we might be in one of those or close to it.
Oh, no. We prayed this morning. They ain't going to come here.
Thank you, Jesus.
They ain't getting off the ground. In Jesus' name. Yeah, Malcolm.
I've been following, listening to Patrick. Henry. I think he was one of the founding fathers. No, Patrick, whatever his last name is. Anyway, David's been quoting him quite a bit on the reciting some
You're
of his dreams.
Talking about Timothy Dixon.
Timothy McVeigh. No.
Now, Timothy Dixon, it's not Patrick
Dixon,
Henry.
Yeah, right. So
you was almost close.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, so what I've been listening to his visions, and he's had some words in the last few days that are pretty in fact one video, I think it was about 15 minutes or so, he just outright prophesied the whole time. And so one of the things he said was that there's going to come incredible rain on Washington, D.C., and then tremendous frogs, more frogs than they could, you know, just, and the scientists won't be able to explain how that happened, just endless frogs. So I think Timothy Dixon's stuff is worth keeping really close track of because things are happening so fast. And I don't know, I personally feel like he's, even though he doesn't have an understanding of everything, of course, but I don't think anybody does, but I think he's worth listening to. And there's some very significant stuff that he's been saying about the whirlwinds touching down in Arizona and then the actual physical, that the Arizona one was a spiritual tornado, whirlwind, where the same gray-haired man steps out, silver-haired man. And actually, what's really significant about that, to me, that dream that he had or vision was that as the silver-haired man stepped out of the whirlwind in Arizona, he had a little boy with him by the hand. And once he stepped out, the little boy let go and took off. Now think about that. Anyway, the folks that were trying to do stuff in Arizona were, as this man stepped out, started getting arrested from these black SUVs that pulled up. So they thought they had hidden everything, but it didn't work out. And then there are other specific actual tornadoes that touched down in, I think it's in Georgia. I might be wrong, but some very specific stuff. So
you talking about that Dixon prophesying?
Yeah, well, not just his prophesying, but also his dreams.
Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but they're coming thick and fast, and, you know, and I'm so glad that David's covering, at least some of it.
Yeah, yeah, he's getting into all of it, just about it.
Yeah.
We go over him, and he's... he does that.
I think it's JesusNUTV.tv is a YouTube channel. I look at it every day to see if he's come up with something new. So, and every other day or so, he posts something.
Well, I think he's...
I love his truck, but the last video he posted said that somebody, he didn't say this, but it sounds like somebody send in some money or whatever, and he turned in his resignation for the Trump trucking company he was working for. Nice Mack truck. I mean, the inside of that cab looks so nice. But anyway, he said it's his last trip, and then he's doing whatever the Lord wants him to.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, he said he was on his last trip. Then as he gets back, he's hanging it up. Yep, he's a humble guy. He's just an old country boy. Good singer, too.
Yeah, he is good, yeah.
Yeah, miss
it. Anyway, you know, I think is so neat is that God just, with all these dreams, visions, prophetic words, all these things, you tie them all together, and at least I feel like it's putting in my mind a picture. It's setting me in a mood. It's giving me a sense of where God is going right now, and I think it's. I've tried to talk to, you know, some family and friends, and they're just not open. And I feel like shaking them, saying, "Listen, God's talking right now. You ought to hear what He's saying," but I can't. They won't listen. So anyway, I feel like I'm sitting on this gold mine and can't really do anything about it. Just appreciate it myself.
Amen. Good night, Ray and June. Glad y'all could join us. God bless you. Hope you can get that microphone fixed so we can talk. You know, amen. God bless y'all. We'll see you later. Bye. All right. Go ahead, Dominique. Go ahead, Missy.
My bad. I actually raised my hand instead of unmuting. My bad. I was just saying, when you were talking about people getting prayed for healing and everything and how they're being very humble about it, like I brought them up before, but the last Reformation, I encourage you to check them out a little bit more because it sounds exactly like what they do. And that, his name's Torben Sondergaard. He's the one that started it.
I know about
him. Yeah.
Yep.
He's definitely, you know, I wouldn't say he knows everything or anything. Obviously, nobody does, but I encourage you to look at him a little bit more. He's definitely grown a lot recently. Like a lot of his teachings sound a lot like David's recently. It's really nice.
Okay.
So, I mean, definitely give him a look. I've met him a few times. He's a nice guy and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've prayed for him and all that. And I've asked for prayer here for him. He's definitely somebody that's helped me out a lot. And it sounded a lot like what you were saying. I definitely think he's going to be a pretty big key part. He's definitely making waves, just like you guys are. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Missy.
Malcolm, I don't think you're on the computer, but Julie put in there, Timothy Dixon has his own channel. You don't have to go to somebody else's site to find his stuff. Just put in YouTube, Timothy Dixon channel, and you'll be able to find his postings on his own site. His own channel.
Yeah, I got that feeling because I saw other stuff posted on the Jesus in You site. So, and I've got the feeling that he's there's other stuff going on his site, and he's very protective about his site. Somebody started asking for money in his behalf, and he said I won't tolerate any of that on my channel. He said other people want to ask for money. That's different, but I don't want anybody asking for money for me, you know, or some orphanage or stuff like that. I guess it's quite a gold mine there, you know, people begging. Too bad when they go to other people's sites to do it.
Amen.
Okay. All right, anybody else? Well, I thought we was going to talk all night long on this other, and gosh, we talked just a few minutes on it. I'm just disappointed. I guess I'll just go on out of here. All right, George, go ahead, brother. This is my savior.
I'll give a couple more little anecdotes.
Okay.
3 weeks ago, when I was starting with these folks, I kept talking about how God's promises, most of them are past tense, you know, looking back at what Jesus did for us. And this lady at the end had a sciatica problem, pain in her back or whatever. She didn't really tell the whole story. So here I come with anointing oil, and a couple of gentlemen come over to pray, and they're praying in tongues and praying for her, and I anointed her, and she came back the next week and waited till everybody was pretty much gone, and she comes up with her husband. She said, I just wanted to tell you that I haven't felt my middle toes in over 10 years. I had back surgery, she said, and I was putting on my sock Tuesday, and I thought, I think I just felt a tingling in my toes. She said, I thought my mind was playing tricks on me, so I took my sock off and started putting it back on, and sure enough, she said, I'm starting to feel some feeling in those toes. And the last thing I said when I was praying was that she would go and she would continually be healed, that she wouldn't, if we didn't see it right then, that she was going to be being healed. And I'm waiting to see her again. I didn't see her this past week, but I really anticipate God is doing a whole work. He is defining the word shalom to this lady. He is making her whole and at total peace. And she's such a nice couple. And he said he had medical issues and whatever also. So I prayed for him. And I just, we think of these as little things, but I mentioned to the class how Lester Summerall had gone down to the Philippines or wherever it was, and one little demon-possessed girl that they brought to him, when he got her cleaned up of demons, it opened the whole island to the gospel and basically pretty much launched his ministry. So, this is a group of people that don't believe Christians can be bothered by demons. So we'll see how many chapters we can get in with them. And I'm also kind of had a school of about 400 or 500 kids down in Haiti thrown in my lap a year ago or whenever it was, and slowly building a little rapport and relationships. I'm pretty tight with them down there because I'm the liaison basically to keep the hotheads from blowing their stacks. I kind of keep the information going back and forth and the money flowing and things like that. And I'm peacekeeper. So hopefully God's going to do something incredible down there with me involved somehow. But I figured I'd let y'all in on that because y'all are my family.
Amen. Is that an orphanage, you say, George?
No, it's a full gospel church out of New York that started in 1982, a mission in Haiti. And the school, it teaches all kinds of studies, gives them Bible studies also and devotionals, and has a church on the grounds. And it's in Leogon, which was basically ground zero for that earthquake that hit about 2010. And they've got a lot of good structures that didn't get shaken down in that. So they were kind of like a city on a hill when it came to having anything left, you know. So they've done well, and you know, they ain't got much, but they got Jesus, and we'll see if we can make those wineskins ready to hold that new wine.
Amen. Lord, we lift that place up to you, and we thank you for your protection upon it, Lord, through all kinds of things that are coming. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Amen.
Okay. Who's next? Yes, Julie.
Something else that was coming to my mind, maybe someone else maybe covered it too when I was thinking about it. I may have missed it, but something that true Christianity has that others do not is God's sovereign. There's only one true God, and everything else, like somebody had said that, you know, I think it was George said it was, you know, everyone else is just, you know, false gods, false images. Well, God's sovereignty over his word to perform it, to bring to pass every promise and every prophecy. And and that true prophecy always repeats, so you can look back at things and see the types and shadows where God said in his Old Testament, or even in, you know, the book of Acts and the Gospels, that he's going to repeat, and that he's the one that does it. You know, and it's the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way. And there's just so many deceptions and lies and false imagery of even Christianity. That the days ahead is going to be proven. Everything's going to be proven. What real Christianity is.
Amen. Thank you, Julie. Go ahead, Dominic.
She pretty much just said what I was about to say, actually, near the end, about how even false religion has touched on Christianity now, you know, how further we're getting from the true gospel and how watered down it is. Like, the way I always explain it is like alcohol. Like, the more you water it down, the less effective it is. And it's unfortunately, yeah, hitting Christianity too. And, you know, but I think the way that you can see the truth behind it is how much power there is behind what it has, you know, how much power there is, how effective it really is, and how there's no contradiction in the Bible that there is in, you know, in other religions, and how little power it truly has too. And I think that's a good way to show that, you know, Christianity is truth. You know, there's not really many miracles coming through any other religions, but our God is a, you know, God of miracles. He performs many every single day, every single hour, probably, you know. So I feel like that's a great way to show that we have a right God, you know, and not a false one.
Amen. That's exactly right. Yep. Did you want to say something, Benita?
I was just going to comment on his, what he said about every day is performing miracles. I mean, I just praise him for bringing me out of Hinduism, which I was raised in, and praying to all those gods. And I mean, there's just no way you can come out of it without him performing a miracle. And he does it every day. And, you know, we go through and, you know, I don't know, we just, feel like I'm just this like one person, and there's nobody else that understands all around me, and you just feel like you're going, you know, you must be nuts or something because nobody else believes it. But then you go back and you look at, it's the same thing that happened in Jesus' day. It was just him and the disciples. None of the other people believed it, and so, you know, if nobody believes it, you're doing something right. So,
Amen.
He, I mean, when he was there on earth, he was reigning. He had full control over everything that he went through. Nobody could take that away from him, and he did his Father's will, because that was his plan. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. You're not alone, girl. You ain't alone. We're right there with you. We're right there with you. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, all the other religions usually it's about works. You have to earn it. Well, Christianity is just about grace. You can't earn your salvation, but you have to earn your salvation, whatever it is, the other religions.
Amen. That's right. All the rest of them are under the law. Christianity is grace. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, I was curious if Vanita would mind sharing how the Lord called her out of Hinduism, and I know she eventually got here to UBM, but that process, you know, how that all kind of transpired.
Yeah, sure. No, I was raised going to the temple all the time, going and listening to gurus every weekend and understanding the philosophies of Hinduism and everything. And I don't know, when I got into college, just, you know, went to philosophy class and just was really trying to figure out the truth of it. And I ended up just deciding I didn't believe anything really. Was just more agnostic than anything. And I mean, just kind of slowly through, you know, I got married and my husband was raised Baptist, but we were married for 15 years and I did not come to the Lord and just kept arguing with it and just thinking it wasn't fair. My big thing was, you know, all these Indians, my whole homeland was so far away from Christianity, and it just seems so unfair that God would be so unfair that he wouldn't, there's nobody there to tell them about it. Whereas in America, you know, there's a Christian on every corner and 10 in between, like David says. But in India, you don't have that so much. And it just seems so unfair. And then, I mean, it was 15 years after I was married that we started going to a church. And, you know, I would just argue with them every day about what they were teaching me. But just one day I was talking to my dad, actually, in a train in India about God and what I'd learned about the Bible. And he's like, how can you believe that? And it just hit me that it was just by faith, that I had to believe it by faith. And that brought me out of it. And it was just like, it was like a light bulb came on, and it just, what I had read in the Bible just made sense all of a sudden, where I was fighting it before and now I just believed it. So but I have discussions with my mom and dad all the time. I was just asking them the other day, we were talking about morality, and I was asking them in their religion, if they're in their books that they read, if there's, you know, any information about, yes, this is right and this is wrong, or do this or don't do that. Because I mean, it's pretty clear in Christianity what, you know, what's right and what's wrong. It's not my truth, it's God's truth. And they're like, no, they just have, you know, general philosophies, but nothing specific. And so really it's their truth. It's whatever truth you believe it to be. So if somebody says homosexuality is right and the society agrees with it, then I don't know, just kind of moves through life and things change as time goes on, whereas that does not happen with the Bible. It does not change. It's always the same. It's always the truth, and you can stand on it and it doesn't change. And I, that just recently, I mean, just as I've been reading more and more and getting more understanding through David's teachings, that just even hits you more and more that, you know, all these things that I've been taught in the last 15 years that I've been saved have not been what the Bible's teaching. And you have to go right back to the way it was taught right in the beginning, right in the Bible. And like, I don't know how they got all these misunderstandings out of it, but it's just, it's so much misunderstanding when it just seems so clear when you read it right out of the Bible. And so it's just always going right back to the basic, the truth, right from the beginning. I don't know if that answered your question or not.
Yeah, you're doing good. Yeah, whenever a man gets a hold of something, he has a tendency to screw it up a little bit. So that's what happens in religions. They think they're going to improve, and they just make it worse.
Right. I mean, having been in India, so corrupt over there in the whole caste system, I'm like, Dad, if this religion of yours is so good, then why is everything, you know, you treat people so badly and just out of control over there? And that doesn't seem right. I mean, now when you look at it from my eyes, you know, we're all just one human race and we're all equal. It doesn't matter what your status is or where you were born, we're all equal. And that's not how it is over there. And you can see how bad that affects everything that happens there.
Oh, that caste system?
Yeah. That and the whole reincarnation. I mean, you're just always working towards doing good so that you can be reincarnated into a better person the next time. So it's just never ending.
So who's the best person over there?
Well, some of the people, when they get enlightenment after, this is one funny thing, you know, it's like, I always say to my dad, you know, Christianity, the path is narrow, but at least it's available. But in Hinduism or in their philosophy, there's just such a few people that get to that place of enlightenment where they are like a god. They're like one at the same level of God. Like nobody can ever get there, you know. So.
Okay, I got one question for you also. Did you go over how you came across David's teachings?
Yeah, no, you know, I was teaching in our Sunday school class, and I'm always trying to get a deeper understanding of what I'm trying to teach the children. And so I always go out on YouTube and Google and search for information about subjects. And I was searching, I don't know, must have been the end times, because I came across Hidden Manna, and I'd been listening to another gentleman, another David, I forgot his last name, no, he passed away now, but he had some really good teachings. But then when I came to the end times and I heard, I don't know, just when I heard David and then I compared it to other ones, it just made so much more sense. It put everything into perspective. It just made all the pieces fall into place that didn't connect for me before.
Amen. That's what he did for me too. It was through Hidden Manna. Yeah. Amen. I think just about everybody hit Hidden Manna. Still don't know nothing. Well, you talking about David Terrell?
No, I'm trying to think. He was,
that's okay.
Yeah, I can't think of it right now.
Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm. Yeah, that's okay, Vanita. Thank you.
Yeah,
now we know all there is to know about Hinduism.
this is Malcolm. I spent my early teenage years in Nepal, and so, but I was going to ask what in the world happened to your accent, because you don't have any. Or have you muted yourself already?
I was born in India, but I came here when I was 3.
So I've
grown up here.
Yeah, even though I grew up in a Christian home, we were in a Hindu country. And, I mean, India is not even a Hindu country. It's although I think the prime minister wants it to go that way, but and in fact, the prime minister of India put a tremendous amount of pressure on Nepal when their Congress or Parliament or whatever in Nepal voted to go secular, because he wanted it to stay a Hindu country. It was so bad that he blocked fuel from coming into the country or trucks. I mean, it was just a mess. It was a terrible situation because, you know, Nepal is landlocked, kind of like Switzerland. But no, I grew up with, even though I was in a Christian home, all the temple stuff, the festivals and everything were all around me all the time. And I learned a lot of Hindu songs, and I still hum them occasionally about the local goddess there in the area. I think different areas have their own, gods or goddesses that has, you know, folklore is that they did something, you know. So, but anyway, it's just a, for me, it was a very ingrained, not ingrained, but it was a subconscious thing. A lot of the philosophy and the culture and whatnot, even though we were Christian home. So anyway, it's very interesting to hear you talking about all that.
Go ahead, Pat.
I just wanted to ask Vanita, what, so you said you got married to a Baptist? Is that what you said?
Yeah, he was, he's a Baptist.
Yep. Okay. All right. So, and I'm assuming that then you listened to him and he was teaching you things out of the Bible. What was the process there? I mean, you sound like more or less argued with him or whatever.
Yeah, no, he's more of a kind of a quiet Baptist. He's not one to try to convert you or talk about it much. And he'd kind of gotten away a little bit from it himself. So he wasn't really pushing to go to church or anything like that. So it was actually me that said, our neighbors where we were living, they were starting a church. And I said, let's start going to that church. Because I, didn't believe in anything in particular anyway. So we started going to that church, and that's kind of what enlightened me to the whole thing.
So what is his name?
His name is Frank.
Frank?
He's been Frank for him. He's had the back problems. He had some back surgery recently.
So is he cold towards Christianity, or is he just is he still a Baptist, quote, a Baptist, or?
Yeah, he is. He, like, what I'm learning here is all not what he believed in or not what he agrees with, so I'm kind of
Does he reject it? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Touchy subject, Pat.
Frank's a target. The Lord's got his arrows right now. He's honing the thing up right now. So,
yeah, one of the things that I wanted to mention too was when I first was saved, when Malcolm was talking, he said that, we grew up singing a lot of Indian prayer songs and doing a lot of pujas, which are prayer rituals to the gods. So we'd have all the gods set up and we'd be praying to them and all that. And so my kids grew up in that. For many years, we would do pujas at my parents' house and different things. And they knew all the songs. We sang them all the time. And I didn't understand that I was not supposed to be worshiping our gods. And as I started to understand it more and more, it was just, I couldn't just not go because it was such a big thing for my parents, especially my mom, to have these pujas and have us all involved. And it was just her tradition and her, what she believed. And so it was just, we just did it for a while. But then, I don't know, one day, probably a couple years into my being saved, it was a couple years I was saved before I was strong enough and understood enough that is just something I definitely shouldn't be doing. And so I had to tell her one day during Diwali puja that me and my kids weren't going to participate. And it just broke her heart. I mean, she was just so upset, so sad. And we just sat in the back and let them do their thing and we didn't participate. And then we, all of our friends were participating and just the three of us were sitting in the back by ourselves, and it's a little uncomfortable, but I just was so convicted of it at that point that I was able to stop doing that. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. So it's not necessarily a bad thing that someone should become demoralized or cold in the Baptist tradition or whatever, because God plants seeds there through that process. And God's creating an environment right now that's going to supersede the religions and the because he's going to strip away all of the resources, spiritual resources, away from these belief systems or whatever. And people are going to start looking and seeking a real God. And so my prayer is for Frank that he finds the real God. You know, that would be the thought. So praise the Lord. Amen.
Especially after the woman word and the message that we had last time, where I'm not to be teaching and I'm to be asking him for guidance. And I want to do that. I want him to increase and for me to decrease. Marilyn has mentioned that to me before too, and I'm in agreement with that. I'm just praying for that.
Well, let's all pray together and agree with that. We can do that. Thank you, Father, for hearing this prayer, for Anita's heart, for have her husband come alive, Father, come alive in the word, take that leadership position in the family. Father, we want you to move on Frank's heart and his mind to bring him in to in fellowship with Vanita, and so that she can hear the word coming from him that's enriched their family. And this is what she desires, Father. And we're praying in agreement that this is going to happen. So thank you, Father, for hearing this prayer. And we know this is going to happen. We claim it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Frank's coming on. Power of Satan off of Frank right now in Jesus' name. I command that spirit of religion off of him right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to send somebody to Frank that he'll listen to, that has the truth of the gospel, and that it would make sense to him. Just open up his ears, Lord, and open up his eyes to see the truth in the gospel. And I command that blinded Baptist spirit off of him right now in the name of Jesus. Lord. And I praise you, Father, that Frank is coming into the kingdom. And Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for the work that you're doing in Frank right now. That your angels are round about him, Lord, minister to him right now, whispering in his ears, go see David. Go see David. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Amen and amen. All right. Your prayers are being answered right now, Vanita. I believe it.
Absolutely.
Amen.
That mountain got moved.
Amen. Amen. All right. Now that we got the world's religion taken care of, what else y'all want to talk about? What's a good subject for Thursday night? Okay, Vanita. Hinduism.
Sorry, I do have a question. I was just seeking guidance. My old church that I went to, they're having a dinner on Saturday or on Sunday after church, after their church. And I was my son wants to go and wasn't sure if I should or not. I mean, I'm not going to talk any theology or anything with them, but just fellowship with them. So I don't know if anybody had any advice.
What do you think?
I mean, I'm comfortable going. I'm not going to, you know, debate with them or anything. I just, I'm still going to be friends with them.
it's going to be a lot for your son. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, all just right. be a blessing to him. Let him see Jesus in you. Amen. Mom, you've changed. What's going on? You know. Well, son, let me tell you. Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? I'm trying to look at everybody at the same time, but I got two pages I got to go to here. Hey, Tim. What's up, dude? Hey, Adelina. How you doing, sweetie? I see a ponytails on your head. I guess there's ponytails or dog tails or whatever you call them. Yeah. Yeah. I see you. Amen. You sweetie. You keeping your mom and daddy busy, I bet you. Lena said, yep. She's keeping us busy. Julie, you okay? Okay. Awesome. Amen. She got a motor on that arm. Yeah, I see you, girl. All right. Anybody? Yeah, go ahead, Vanita.
Sorry. You were asking about next week or on Thursday if there's something to talk about. I've just been struggling a little bit with, there's some verses that talk about when the day of the Lord comes, that, you know, the earth will be burned in fire and the heavens will be rolled up, and it'll be like changed like a garment. And when I read those verses, I always feel like, you know, everything will be destroyed completely. But then I have read in a couple of places also where a few people will survive. So these are the unrighteous. So some of them will survive to go into the millennial kingdom. And so I was just trying to understand what I was missing. And I put down some of the verses, and I can email it to you. I was, you know, just some of the verses that I was looking at.
Sure. Do that. Yeah, well, you got them right now. You can just tell it to us right now if you've got them handy. And that way everybody can get a hold of them.
Yeah. All right. You know, if I email them to you, you can send them out to give everybody a chance to think about it. All right. I know our time.
You can do that. You can email them. That'd be fine. Give you time.
Yeah, because it's like Isaiah 24:6 and Isaiah 24:3, 2 Peter 3:12.
Yeah, make your list. We'll look them all over.
Yeah, I kind of typed it up in an email.
Dave, hang on just a second. Go ahead, Renita. Isaiah 24:6-3.
Isaiah 24:6 and 24:3. So 24:6, 24:3 says the earth shall be utterly empty and utterly plundered. And then 24:6 says, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are found guilty. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, a few men left. So
yeah, we'll go over it Thursday night. Yeah, we'll go over it Thursday night.
Okay, I'll send this email to you. I've got it all typed up. I just didn't send it yet.
Okay. So I'll put a few more verses with it and I'll send it out.
Okay, perfect.
Okie doke. All right, anybody else?
So what will be the topic?
Millennial reign.
Millennial reign?
Yeah.
Who goes into the millennial reign?
Going into it. Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, did you
add me to the email list yet? Because I didn't get the email you sent out, you said, late today.
Well, why didn't you, Mike?
I don't know. I think you didn't add me. You said you would last time.
I know. I'll put you. Did I get you, Vanita, also? Did you get it?
No.
Okay, let me make a note here.
Yeah, me either, Brother Michael. Thank you.
Geneva? Okay. Do I have all of y'all's email?
You've emailed me before, but I just sent you my email.
Okay, if I've emailed you before, I got it. Okay, I think I got yours, Geneva. All right, anybody else? That's been a good night. We got a few things hashed out. I know all there is to know about Hinduism now. It looks like them cicadas. Is that a bunch of people coming back as cicadas?
Probably.
That's my uncle over there. What are you doing in there? All right. Dirk and Paula didn't receive it either. Well, that's slow mail out there. I think I got y'all on there. All right, anyway, I'll check to see. I'll make sure that y'all are on there.
Now they moved, Michael, remember?
Huh?
They moved.
What'd you say?
I said they moved. That's why the email didn't get there.
Oh.
He said it like an Australian, moved. So.
Oh, okay. We'll be there for a minute, Greg. Okay. Thank you, Lord. It's 10 o'clock. Thank you, Jesus. All right. We're going to talk end times come Thursday night. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you have made each and every one of us a child of yours, and we're learning to walk in those footsteps that you've given us, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you're placing trust and faith in us, Lord. That faith to believe that we can trust you in everything, that when we pray or when we declare, it happens in the name of Jesus. And we know and we pray, Father, that in the times ahead, that everybody here will be a blessing to the people around them, and that their ministry would be to bring people into the kingdom and disciple them. And Father, we thank you for that, because most of the world doesn't know that. Most of the religious world, most of the Christian world doesn't know that. And Father, we thank you for this small group of people here and scattered all over the world that are going to be the catalyst for this revival movement that's fixing to come to us, Lord. And we praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, for getting us all ready, putting us on that narrow road. And we praise you, Father, because the narrow road, it's the one where we got our eyes on you, and that's it. We don't have our eyes on the world. We don't have our eyes on self. We have our eyes on you. And I thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just ask and I pray that you give everybody a good night's sleep tonight and be with us and give us wisdom about the things ahead, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Y'all be blessed, you hear?